This is Henry Simon, bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon by Ross Napier, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. In one moment, the search for Charlie Porter, address unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
When Charlie Porter decided to take up boxing as a career, he was still selling newspapers in the Tottenham Court Road. But he'd been told by those who'd seen him participating in amateur bouts that he had a very great fistic future in store. Even so, he was determined not to let it go to his head. So he continued to sell his newspapers right up until the time he won his third professional bout in 1949. It was soon after this that he teamed up with a fight manager named Joshua Lawrence, who guided him steadily up the ladder of the preliminary ranks, finally securing him a supporting bout to a championship fight at the Haringey Stadium. Luck was against him, however, and in the second round, his opponent swung a wild punch that lifted Charlie clean off his feet and put him back in his dressing room in a very dazed state of mind.
I didn't even see it coming, Josh. I was all set to finish him off, and I didn't even see it coming.
Well, relax, Charlie boy. It was a lucky punch, that's all.
But I didn't even see it coming. If only I'd seen it coming, I'd have been all right. Only I'd seen it coming.
You just forget about it. It'll be a different story next time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, different story. Funny thing, though, I didn't even see it coming.
As fate would have it, that punch was not the last that Charlie didn't see coming. In his next 18 bouts, stretching over a period of almost 3 years, he took the count 15 times. And in the remaining three, only managed to stay on his feet because his opponent was either too old or too tired to administer the coup de grace. Then came that eventful eve in the August of 1954, when Charlie Porter graced the Hempen Square for the last time. He was back at the bottom of the bill, and he wouldn't have been there except for the fact he was called as a last-minute substitute. For four rounds, he was mercilessly battered by a fusillade of punches, none of which he saw coming, but all of which took their toll, until at length, early in the fifth round, he sank to his knees. He tried to rise, but his leg refused to function. And with the crowd's derision echoing in his ears, Charlie Porter took his final count.
I couldn't get up, Josh. I tried, but I just couldn't.
How'd you feel?
Okay. Bit woozy up top, but okay.
Well, this time I really mean it.
What?
You're through, Charlie.
Finished. How? Now, Josh,
I'm not arguing with you. You're taking too many beatings. No, I aim to see you don't take any more.
But I'm fit, I'll tell you. I'm as fit as ever I was.
No, you're not, kid. You're in bad shape. I didn't realise till tonight just how bad. You wandered around that ring like a man in a dream, letting Hogan hit you as he pleased. I looked for all the world like you couldn't even see him.
Oh, it was just I had a headache.
You always got a headache these days, and it's small wonder. Tomorrow morning you're going to see the doc and have a thorough checkup.
If he says I'm okay, will you let me go on fighting?
I told you no.
Oh, please, Josh, you know how much it means to me. It's my whole life.
Oh, well, think about it. But only if he gives you a perfect bill of health.
Oh, he will. Like I keep telling you, I'm as fit as ever I was.
All right, Charlie, you can come back in now.
Thanks, Doc. Did you check the x-rays?
Yes, I checked them.
Well, what's the verdict?
You're a married man, Charlie?
No, sir. Oh, there'll be time enough for that when I retire from the ring. I've got to make me name first.
Well, we can't all make the top, son.
Oh, I'll get there. I've just had a runabout, that's all.
Tell me, what's your mother think about you fighting for a living?
I haven't got a mother, sir. She died when I was a baby.
Oh. Father?
Well, no family at all.
No close relatives?
Well, not that I know of. You see, I was raised in an orphanage, but why all the questions?
Oh, just curious. I'm afraid Josh was right, Charlie. Your fighting days are over.
Oh, you're kidding me, Doc.
Only wish I were.
But there's nothing the matter with me. I feel great. And if those x-rays say any different, they're wrong.
How about that headache?
Well, it's still there a little, but it's better than it was.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I can't pass you.
Now, Doc, you've got to. Look, what do I have to do to prove I'm okay? I'll do anything you want, anything, if you'll only...
You're beating your head against a wall, son. There's nothing you or anyone else can do to prove you're fit when you're not.
But what's wrong with me?
To put it in three short words, too many punches.
I'll go to another doctor. I'll even get myself another manager if I have to. Nobody's going to stop me fighting. Nobody. Cheer?
Charlie, you can go to a dozen other doctors and find yourself twice as many more managers. But it won't make any difference. You should know that where the boxing authorities are concerned, my word is law. If I say you're out, you're out. That's all there is to it. You've taken your last licking, son. You'll never fight again.
You want to see me, Doc?
Sit down, Josh.
Where's Charlie?
He's gone.
Well, I was supposed to meet him here.
He told me to tell you he couldn't wait.
And from that and your expression, I take it the x-rays didn't come out so good.
You should have made him quit a long time ago.
You think I didn't try? Doc, that kid's like my own son. I'd do anything in the world for him.
Oh, I know you would, Josh. That's the whole trouble. You've done too much. By letting him have his own way, by being soft with him, you've done more damage than you'll ever know. You let sentiment warp your judgment. And in this business, that's a fatal mistake.
Give it to me straight, Doc. What's wrong with him?
He's got a brain tumor.
Is that as bad as it sounds?
Couldn't be much worse.
Did you tell him?
I thought I'd leave that to you. All I told him was he had to quit. He took it very badly.
Can anything be done?
If he's operated on immediately, there's a faint chance.
And if not?
He'll be dead inside a month.
Private hotel.
Hello. Is Charlie Porter there?
No, I'm sorry. He just left.
When did you expect him back?
We don't. He's moved out.
What?
Just a few minutes ago. Who is it calling?
Josh Lawrence, his manager.
Oh, yes. Yes, he left a message for you, Mr. Lawrence. Have it here at the desk. Would you like me to read it out?
Please.
It said just a few lines scribbled on the back of an envelope. Dear Josh, I'm going away. I don't know where, but the doc says I'm through with fighting, so it doesn't really matter. I probably won't see you again, but I'll never forget all the good turns you've done for me. Thanks for everything, Charlie.
For the Missing Persons Bureau, the case of Charlie Porter had its beginning 2 days later, when I was visited here in my office by Joshua Lawrence, who acquainted me with the facts as I presented them to you.
He's dying, Mr. Simon, and he doesn't know it. Only an operation can save him. Even that's 100-1 against. But there's a chance. There's a chance he'll come through if he's operated on right away. And that means in the next few days.
It doesn't give us long.
You've got to find him, Mr. Simon. I'll pay whatever you want. Just find him, that's all.
I take it you already made certain inquiries.
I've looked everywhere and checked with everyone I can think of. But for all the progress I've made, I could have saved me time. No one's seen him. No one's heard from him. He's just disappeared.
How's he placed the money?
We can't have more than a few pounds. 10, perhaps. 15 at the outside.
It won't take him far.
He doesn't have to, in London. He could bury himself in any one of a million places.
Quite. He had rooms in Hammersmith, you say?
He was at a private hotel, the Cleveland, Essex Road.
Uh-huh. And he left this message with the proprietor.
Yes.
Hmm.
I don't blame him for not wanting to see me again. This whole thing's my fault. If I'd made him quit 12 months ago, he'd be okay.
He's not aware of that, though, is he? What I mean is, he can scarcely blame you for something about which he knows nothing.
Well, that's a fat consolation.
You've been his manager since 1949.
I've been a father and mother to him. At least I've tried to be. As a fighter, he hasn't been worth a peanut since he lost that sport bout at Erringay. One punch and it wrecked his whole career. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it happen. If I hadn't stood by and watched him being slowly chopped to ribbons by fellows who had whipped him with both arms tied behind their backs. Just like that, his timing left him. His speed, his concentration, everything.
All because of one rotten Sunday punch. That's when he should have got out there and then. But how was I to know? Before that, the kid had a future, a big one. Another year, he'd been on top. But instead, what happens? He takes a nosedive and winds up with his brain scrambled.
The luck of the game. Isn't that what they say?
Don't talk to me about luck. Oh, help me, if that kid dies,
There's little to be achieved by blaming yourself.
Who else can I blame? I let him go on, didn't I? I let him beat him to a pulp.
He wanted to continue fighting, and because he wanted it, you let him. It was foolish of you, even more foolish of him. But even the wisest and the very best of us make mistakes. Oh, by the way, I don't believe you mentioned his age.
24.
Have you got a photograph of him?
I've got a whole folder full here. Old publicity stills. You can take your pick.
How long ago were these taken?
A few years. He hasn't changed much to look at, though. Got his nose broken twice, but they mended it up like new. Too bad they can't do the same with his head.
Perhaps they will, if we find him.
What are the odds, Mr. Simon? Let me have it on the chin. Do you think we...
It's quite impossible to say just now. We'll do the very best we can, and that's all I can promise.
You'll let me know if anything comes up?
Of course.
My number's on that card. You can reach me there any time.
Fine.
Look, I'm sorry I went to pieces a bit earlier. It's just that I'm pretty much on edge.
Understandably so.
I've seen this kind of thing happen a dozen times to other boys. I was in the ring myself once. Almost lost my eyesight. If I hadn't got out when I did, I'd have probably been where Charlie is today.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
It was a tragic business, whichever way one looked at it. Yet to a certain extent, it had been brought about by the two people involved, Joshua Lawrence and Charlie Porter themselves, who were now, so far as we were concerned, client and quarry. Accordingly, directly Lawrence had taken his leave, I sent for Agent Bob Hunter and briefed him on the various aspects of the case. As far as I can gather, Hunter, the boy seems to have spent his entire life in London.
Oh.
He was born and bred here, and apart from the odd country tour, he's never been further afield than Stepney. His parents are dead, he has no relatives to speak of, and outside of the boxing profession, he has very few friends.
Well, no romantic interests?
Not to Lawrence's knowledge.
Thieves is with a pretty open field, sir.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, especially in view of the time limit.
Yeah. What about before he turned pro? How'd he make a living?
Selling newspapers. That was his other world, the world he grew up in.
Maybe he's gone back to it.
It's conceivable. See, I've made some notes here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, from the age of 14, he worked for a newsagent on the Tottenham Court Road, Donald Baker. He was still employed there when Lawrence first met him.
This Baker still in business?
Well, there's a D.L. Baker newsagent listed in the current phone directory, 142 Tottenham Court Road. I expect it's the same man.
142?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chief, I'm going to have a talk to him and see what he knows.
At Baker's news agency, not very far from Good Street Tube Station in the Tottenham Court Road, Hunter sought out the proprietor, Donald Baker, a plumpish, balding man of middle age.
Charlie Porter.
That's right.
Whatever happened to that lad? Haven't heard of him in years. Not since I saw his name on the sporting bill at the Albert Hall. Oh, it must have been back in 51 or 52.
Oh, he hasn't kept in touch.
He did for a while, when he was winning. Then he dropped a few belts and, well, just faded out of the picture.
How long was he working for you?
Well, let's see now. He must have been 5 or 6 years. He had a stand-up on the corner of Oxford Street. Come to be a sort of home to him. Worked like a Trojan he did, from 6 a.m. in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, except when he was fighting. I used to be an amateur then, of course.
Yes, you got to know him pretty well.
Oh, about as well as anyone did. He was a nice lad. Had a good heart, you know. And no one was ever more willing. Oh, I was sorry to lose him, I can tell you.
Where was he living then?
Somewhere in August, I think. Near Painter Roadway.
I don't suppose you'd have the address.
It's probably around somewhere, are you? I could look it up for you.
Oh, if it's not too much trouble, I'd sure appreciate it.
I'll have to go upstairs, though. I'll just ring for the wife. Never mind the shop while I'm gone. Oh, sorry to keep you so long. Got so much junk up there, I can never find anything when I want it.
That's okay. Any luck?
Yep, for what it's worth. Yeah, so here it is. Charlie Porter, care of Mrs. T. Hollis, 221 Fowler Street, Orchid.
The Fowler Street address proved to be a decrepit lodging house in a none too savory area. Groups of ragged children were playing games ranging from football to hopscotch in the centre of the road, which was lined by heavily laden garbage tins waiting to be emptied.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, ma'am. Could you tell me if a Mrs. Hollis lives here?
Why, yes, I'm Mrs. Hollis.
Oh, well, I'm glad to know you. I'm Bob Hunter from the Missing Persons Bureau.
The police?
Oh, no. No, no, we're a private organization.
Oh, for a moment you had me worried. I thought perhaps one or other of my lodgers might have been in trouble.
Well, no. Actually, it is about a former lodger of yours that I've come.
Oh?
Yeah, a young fellow by the name of Charlie Porter.
Charlie?
You remember him?
I should say I do. Looked after him for long enough. Why, he was like one of my own. Till he went into that fight business. Nearly bet me out it did. Fine boy like that.
I take it you don't approve of fighters.
It's what they do to each other I don't approve of. Anyway, he left me not long after.
Mm. Have you seen him since?
No, had a few letters from him for a time, but... Well, I suppose he was hurt because I never went to any of his fights.
Yeah.
But what's this all about? Has he got himself in some kind of scrape?
Well, sort of. He's disappeared.
Disappeared from where?
From where he was living. And a friend of his wants to contact him urgently.
Has he retired from the ring then?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh, but I suppose he'll go back to it again, directly the fancy takes him.
No, no, you won't, Mrs. Hollis. You can rest easy on that score. He's out for good. The big problem is, well, it's vital that I reach him in the next few days. That's why I'm here. I thought perhaps you might be able to give me some kind of a lead. You know, the name of a friend he might have turned to, maybe, or someone he knew in the old days when he was selling his newspapers.
Oh, there's only one person I can think of outside of myself, and that's Mavis.
Mavis?
Mavis Denton. She and Charlie were sweethearts.
Yeah?
Till he started fighting seriously, that is. She was more against it than I was. In the end, they had a bust up. She went her way and he went his. They were so wrapped up in each other, too. It was a terrible shame.
Any notion where I could reach her?
Oh, yes. She was not far from here in Clarence Lane. You won't catch her home now, though. She works during the day.
Where?
Woolworths. Says behind the counter.
Do you know which branch?
The one near the station. You'd have passed it on your way here.
She is still Miss Denton, is she? Or
oh, yes. Got herself engaged once, but it never came to anything. She's never really forgotten Charlie. Doubt she ever will.
Well, thank you very much. I guess I'll go have a chat with her.
You shouldn't have any trouble finding her. She's blonde and very pretty. Works on the electrical goods counter, just by the door as you go in.
As luck would have it, Hunter encountered Mavis Denton as she was leaving to take her tea break, and having introduced himself, persuaded her to join him for a cup of coffee at a nearby cafe.
No, Mr. Hunter, I'm sorry. Charlie and I have lost touch completely. I haven't set eyes on him since we quarrelled about his fighting. He left the district soon after that.
Uh-huh. Well, is there anybody you could think of who might know something? You know, anyone at all he's likely to contact?
Not really. Apart from Mrs. Hollis and myself, he didn't have many close acquaintances. You say he's retired from the ring?
Yeah, that's right.
He hasn't been hurt, has he?
Oh, well, he's taken a lot of punishment over the last few years. More than it's good for anybody.
I tried to warn him, to try and talk him out of it, but he wouldn't listen. He'd been told that he had the makings of a champion, and...
Yeah.
Well, he had always wanted to be someone, and the temptation was just too much for him.
It's an old story. They're all going to be champions when they start off. One or two make it, but the rest, big majority of them, they wind up like Charlie, broken down punch bags.
Oh, it's so wrong. So dreadfully wrong.
Well, I guess they figure it's worth the risk.
Have you tried Bill Palmer?
Bill Palmer? Who's he?
Oh, he has a grocery store up the street. Charlie used to run errands for him when he had time off from his newspaper stand.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally they went to the football together, just the two of them. Yes, they were pretty close at one time. I know Charlie thought a lot of Bill.
Bill Palmer, up the street, huh?
Mm-hmm, about three blocks up on this side. Oh, there's a big green sign up out in the front. Buy your groceries here.
Oh, yes, he was quite a boy, was Charlie, Mr. Hunter. Full of beans and plenty of drive. Must say, though, he didn't get him far in the ring. Only saw him fight once. That was enough.
Uh-huh.
Yes, got the ears belted off him. Sheer murder it was. That's too bad. You know, I really thought he had it.
Yeah. You haven't heard from him at all lately, I suppose.
No. I'm afraid not. For all I know, he could be dead.
Yeah, well, if I don't find him in a hurry, he will be.
What's that?
Well, he's got to go in a hospital for a brain operation. That's hence the urgency.
Doesn't he know about it?
No. It's a terrible thing. He cleared out before anybody had a chance to tell him. So you can see, Mr. Palmer, how vital it is. Try and think. When he left the hotel where he was staying, he was broken up. Now, his whole world had just been shattered because he'd been told he had to give up fighting. Now, can you think, where would he go in that state of mind? Who would he turn to? Not Mrs. Hollis or Mavis Denton, and not you, but who else is there?
Yes, wait a minute. When he was a kid and things weren't too good, he always used to fall back on old Father Jeffries.
Father Jeffries?
Yes.
The priest?
Yes, priest. Charlie's strict Catholic, you know. Yeah. Brought up in a Catholic orphanage.
Is this Father Jeffries still alive, do you happen to know?
I couldn't rightly say. You see, this here used to be his parish till about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Then he was moved out to Putney somewhere or other. You could ask at the presbytery, they'd know.
Father Jeffries?
That's right.
Why, yes, we hear from him quite often.
He's at Putney now, I understand.
Yes, St. Mary's Church in Wesley Road.
Father Jeffries proved to be a man in his early 70s, but age rested lightly on his shoulders, and he carried himself erect, his cheerful reddish face curiously free of wrinkles, his blue eyes keen and clear, and his smile broad, ready and infectious.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, Mr. Hunter. Do sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
Well, thank you, Father, but I'm kind of pressed for time, yet.
As you wish. But tell me, to what do I owe this pleasure?
It has to do with an old parishioner of yours, a fellow named Charlie Porter.
Charlie?
Yeah.
What about him?
Well, have you heard from him at all recently? I mean, over the past week or so?
Oh, why do you ask?
Well, it's vital that I contact him as soon as possible.
Vital to whom?
To Charlie himself. He's dying, Father, and he doesn't know it.
Dying?
Yeah, he has a brain tumor. The odds are against it, but an immediate operation might save him, so you see...
Enough said, Mr. Hunter. Come with me.
Where?
I have heard from Charlie. 4 days ago he came here, and he told me the doctor had said that he had to give up fighting and wanted to know if I knew of any kind of job that might suit him. He always used to come to me with his woes, you know, whenever he needed guidance or a shoulder to cry on.
Well, were you able to help him as regards the job, I mean?
Well, you might have noticed we have a rather beautiful garden here, as well as a large expanse of lawn.
Yeah, I saw a guy hard at work with a mower out there.
Yes, I used to push that same mower myself and tend the garden. But I'm afraid the years are catching up with me. No longer as active as I was, nor do I have the time to devote to it that I had. And that's why I was only too happy to let someone else take over.
Well, I'm sure you were, Father, but...
You should have taken a closer look at that man behind the mower.
Huh?
Charlie Porter, Mr. Hunter. Shall we join him?
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
Charlie Porter received the news that he was dying a good deal more calmly than he had the doctor's verdict that he must give up fighting. It was Father Jeffries who convinced him, finally, that he still had very much to live for and restored in him the will to carry on. Accordingly, 3 days later, the operation took place. And thanks to the skill of a prominent London brain surgeon, it was a success. On his subsequent release from hospital, Charlie was dispatched by Joshua Lawrence to a rest home in the north of England, where he was later visited by Mavis Denton, who the following year became his wife. And so, from the very jaws of tragedy, ultimate happiness emerged. And now, this is Henry Simon, inviting you to meet me here again, and, for the present, bidding you au revoir.